bastard star. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Joe Montone.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Holy Spirit Radio. My name is Joe Montone, host of Finding God in Prison. It is a beautiful day. We're in the month of February, and we want to dedicate our show today to all of those activists who are working hard to end the legalization of abortion in the United States. My friends, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. In 1973, the U.S. Supreme Court said that human offspring are not persons before birth. Since then, more than 50 million abortions have taken place throughout the United States of America. In 1976, the U.S. Supreme Court also said that minor daughters can have an abortion without their parents' consent. Imagine, my daughter, your daughter, a young girl, 14, 15, 16, can go and have an abortion without her parents knowing about it. When we know that a young girl, 14, 15, or 16, who cannot take aspirin in high school without her parents' permission, she cannot drive as a licensed driver until she gets her license at age 17. She can't vote in an election till age 18 and cannot buy alcohol until age 21. But yet, how is it possible that without the parental consent laws years ago, she was able to have an abortion without her parents' consent, without their notification? And that's an incredible thing. And my friends, today the majority of states require parents to be involved in a minor's decision to have an abortion. Most of these states require at least one parent to be notified and to give consent. It's usually 24 to 48 hours prior to the abortion procedure. Some states even require both parents to give their consent or to be notified and to be involved in this decision. In the state of New Jersey, a young girl, a minor daughter, may obtain an abortion without parental consent or notification of her parents. If a minor daughter has an abortion, the laws in New Jersey don't support or require the release of medical records to a parent or guardian. How is that possible, my friends? Imagine a young girl going to have an abortion by herself, feeling isolated, without the support of her parents. They won't even know about it. And this is important. For this reason, families are kept in the dark, making their children more vulnerable, isolated, and without help from their families when they need it the most. And for this reason, my brothers, we must continue to be a voice for the unborn child. We must continue to educate and motivate our lawmakers and people throughout the country the truth about abortion and the consequences for our children. Very, very important. And Pennsylvania requires the consent of a parent or guardian for medical treatment of anyone younger than 18 years of age. However, Pennsylvania law permits a minor to consent to all medical, dental, and other health services except abortion if the minor has graduated from high school, been married, or been pregnant. And this is very, very important. In the year 2018, 862,000 abortions took place in the United States. In 2017, there were 48,000 abortions in the state of New Jersey, and 1,587 facilities providing abortions throughout the United States of America. In New Jersey, today, there are no waiting periods, no mandated parental involvement, or limitations on public-funded abortions, which are often found in other states. And so we have work to do in the area of parental consent laws in the state of New Jersey. It's very, very important. And my friends, as an activist throughout the last 25 years, working with other individuals in the county, that message of life and family life is so important to get out. And for years, we've been bringing it into our men in the prison system. We have been educating and motivating our men who have truly been there to, get women pregnant. We've had men with as many as 21 children. We've had men who've had women with several pregnancies at the same time, and where multiple women were getting abortions without even the father knowing about it. And that's one of the travesties of justice here in the United States. You know, we have things going on that are outside of our control unless we take control of the situation and do something about it. It's very, very critical that we become activists and we motivate our children to do the same as they become of age and get to be aware of some of the things that are going on. I'll never forget that one of the talks I did under Pennsylvanians for Human Life many years ago was over at St. Mark's Elementary School in Bristol, Pennsylvania. And when the talk was done, the students were amazed because we had covered life at conception through birth and a lot of the factual and medical factual data that comes throughout the program. And one of the young girls asked me a question. She said, "Mr. Montone, is what you said really true?" And I said, "Yes, sweetheart, it is." I said, "Why do you ask?" She said, "Well, because my cousin is pregnant." I said, "Well, how old is she?" She said, 13. And I said, "Boy, that's incredible. She's 13 years old, and she's now pregnant." And here we are in a Catholic elementary school. And it opened my eyes as to the fact that we need to get this message out to the student population as early as we can to help them to make great decisions, to become aware of some of the challenges that are out there if you make the wrong decision. Very, very important. But that young girl, you know, and I had a conversation, and I said to her, I said, "Well, does she have a parental support?" She said, "Oh, yes, her parents love her very much, and they are supporting her completely." And so at 13 years old, she was able to get an abortion without her parents' consent. And, you know, and in that situation, she became pregnant without her parents knowing about it. She was also, you know, in a position where other friends were having sex and doing the same things that she was doing. And, you know, just to be clear about things, in Pennsylvania, children who are less than 13 years old cannot grant consent to sexual activity. Teens between 13 and 15 cannot consent to sexual activity with a person 4 or more years older. People age 16 and older can legally consent to sexual activity with anyone they choose as long as the other person does not have authority over them. So, you know, things are happening quickly for our children today, my friends. And one of the things we try to do, and we've been doing it for years, is trying to get the message of life and family life out. You know, the drive to create a career through great education in elementary school, middle school, high school, college, and beyond is very great. But we also have to strive to help our kids to build a strong family life. And that requires great discipline and great decision making throughout the years. And I remember one of the invitations I had as a speaker years ago was up in Boston on a show called Real to Real. And they had called me up and asked me if I'd be willing to come on the air and do a program live on NBC on Real to Real. And so I said, of course, I'd be more than happy to do it. And the show, the name of the program I did was called How to Avoid a Broken Heart. And so when I talked to the principal up there at St. Mary's High School, she said to me, she said, you know, Joe, when you come up, do you have a hotel or a place you'd like to stay? I said, no, not really. I haven't made the arrangements yet. And she said to me, would you be interested in staying in a bed and breakfast? I haven't happened to have one. So I said, sure, I'd be more than happy to take a look at it and, you know, stay with you guys there. So I went up and I went up to Massachusetts there and stayed at the Bethany House. And in this home, there were rooms with different names on each room. And I stayed in the Lazarus room in the Bethany House. And the next day, I did the talk at St. Mary's High School. The talk, How to Avoid a Broken Heart, was about an hour to an hour and a half. It was filmed and it was incredible. And the goal and the mission for me there was to help these juniors and seniors at St. Mary's High School to avoid getting a broken heart, which a lot of teenagers are living out today. And so when the talk was done, we had five or six young ladies who came up to me, and they were crying because they had already experienced multiple broken hearts at 17 years old, 18 years old. They had experienced some of the tragedies that we see young people going through, and they felt used. They felt abused. So the message, you know, of chastity and abstinence is a great message. The message of motherhood came through to these young women as well, which, you know, in the WINGS program, we value motherhood. It's one of the great messages within the program to put the gift of motherhood up on a plateau, up on a pedestal, because I truly believe that the greatest gift that you can ever give to anyone is the love of God. But beyond that, it's, you know, your life story. And the producer of life, the gift of motherhood, is that vehicle by which God allows us to bring children into the world. One of the great callings, to be fruitful and multiply. And these young ladies had already experienced, you know, these great tragedies of, of being pregnant while they're in high school, which is a very challenging situation because you're living at home with your parents. You're also, you know, in class with your other classmates, and you have become pregnant. And so this was a great moment for me, once again, opened my eyes through the young people out there who had experienced some of the tragedies that, they were able to share with me. And so over the years, we've done, you know, hundreds of talks in different schools throughout Pennsylvania, New Jersey, even New York. And that one happened to be up in Massachusetts. But at some point, God took that information and he said, you know what, we're going to bring this to the men now. Not the students any longer in the classrooms, in the schools, but we're going into the prisons. And we're going to bring this educational information, this medical factual data that we indeed have human life within a mother's womb, to the men who are incarcerated in various prisons. And we're going to do that because they are the ones out there who are undisciplined and producing children. Out of wedlock births are rampant, you know, and our job is to help men to gain respect for human life and to help to become great husbands and fathers, to get married, to have children and grandchildren, to respect their wives, or as they call it, their baby's moms, you know, and to turn a baby's mom into a wife is a beautiful thing. And that's one of the goals in the WINGS program, is to focus on the family. And we've done that for many, many years now in the WINGS program. And one of the blessings we've had is to see the reaction of our men who have had many children, you know, some of them as many as 21 kids, and some men who have had, 10 kids with 8 different women. And just undisciplined, you know, sexual encounters over the years have created, you know, children out of wedlock who are longing to be in a family that's connected. And so it's a great message. I hope you would agree. And I just want to take a moment right now, my friends, to remind you that you're listening to Joe Montone here at Holy Spirit Radio. This is Finding God in Prison. And it is the month of February. It's a beautiful month. It's been a little frosty out here. We're just coming off a heavy snowstorm, you know, with as much as 31 inches of snow here in Bucks County. But I tell you that it is a blessing to be on the air. And I want to thank Dale and Jane for having me back here on the air. I want to thank Frank for producing our show also. And just take a moment to thank you for listening to our programs. And remember that we have opportunity to listen to more than 50 shows on the website at Finding God in Prison on the local programming. So you can listen to any one of our shows which has a guest or no guest, and do it at your convenience by going to www.holyspiritradio.org. And you can do it at any time, my friends. Invite your friends to listen to our program. I think we offer a lot of guidance and direction, a lot of love and support to people who are in need and people who are in transition. So with that, I want to move forward to a little bit more about something we call a dictatorship of relativism. Basically, we know that our society is changing. We know that we have some great challenges today that we never had before. And really, you know, it's becoming difficult. But in the area of moral theology, we talk about dictatorship of relativism. I'm going to tell you a little story about Brad and Maria, who were concerned with their children's education in a local public school. They had gone to the school to speak to the teachers. Well, the teacher had been introducing to the children the ability to choose their gender when they feel ready to. Brad and Maria found that the books and activities are genderless, even from a young age, and focused on developing one's own identity. When Maria raised her concerns with the teacher explained that in this school, we are tolerant of people who were once considered different. Maria wondered why this meant that all students needed to hear about choosing one's gender. Maria spoke about her understanding that God made boys to be boys and girls to be girls. The teacher ended the meeting abruptly, pointing out that this was Maria's truth, but it did not mean it was everyone's truth. And Maria's ideas lead to very intolerant behavior. Other people have their own truths, she said, you know. And the teacher concluded the meeting. And this is what we call dictatorship of relativism. And so and the case is made for a dictatorship when the teacher said, in this school, we are tolerant of people who were once considered different. And she reinforces it by saying, you know, that Maria's truth, that God made boys to be boys and girls to be girls, is her truth only, and it doesn't apply to this school. This is one of the great challenges we have, my friends. And if you go back to 1962, when you know, the ability to pray in the schools was removed. The Word of God was removed from public schools. We're now in the year 2021 when we have families who are challenged because the philosophy in many of these schools is truly there's no moral standard. And we're able to, you know, see where we've evolved to today, where children can pick their own gender. And that was the philosophy in this case in what we call moral theology, a case which is a great example of a standard in a school which has no moral consequences. And basically, children can pick their own gender. And so, you know, one of the challenges we have is to deal with that kind of situation as parents and grandparents, helping our children to focus on, you know, acceptance of what God has done for them, the blessings of being a young man growing up, of a young lady growing up. This is, you know, the blessings that God has given us from, you know, our infant stages. And in the Wings program, we discuss heavily about life at conception through birth and the gift of life, one of the most powerful gifts we can ever, receive, having the birth of a child within a family. My Aunt Emily always said that when a child comes into the family, it brings a lot of love in the family. And the Word of God supports that, you know, because the Lord says, you know, anybody who has a child in my name, in the name of Jesus, receives the love from the Father and the Son through the Holy Spirit. That's why the love from a mother to a son or mother to a daughter is forever. It's powerful because when the child is born in the name of Jesus, that child receives the love of God, the Father and the Son through the Holy Spirit. And that mother and that son are not, or daughter, are not only attached to the umbilical cord, that lifeline, but through the love of God, they are given a lifetime of opportunity to love one another, which is the second greatest commandment, the great calling that God has called us to love one another, to love our neighbors as ourselves. But getting back to the focus on schools, we have this challenge of dealing with these issues today, my friends. And so I encourage you to get into a position of authority and start to try to bring, you know, God's standards, his morals, values, ethics, and biblical principles into the schools, into our homes, first and foremost, and into our hearts, and to live it out. But then to go out and try to, you know, implement some of these standards and to help our children to live a good life. It's one of the most challenging times we're living in today, 2021, and we need to bring, greater standards in the area of family life to our nation today. I know you and I can do it. The question is, you know, how to do it. And when we bring the message to other people, we need to do it with a soft approach, but with a loving touch. We need to do it with great medical factual data. We need to do it with the Word of God on the tips of our tongues to help to touch the hearts and minds of other people, to help them to make changes so that we can go forward into basically a more godly lifestyle, which is the calling, truly, to build the kingdom of God here on earth. It's very powerful, very challenging to do because we have, you know, we have many, many situations in our nation today that require change. We have divorce, we have abortion, we have contraception, we have same-sex marriage. And those four actually don't produce life, but they end life. I'll say it again, divorce, where people split apart. Calling is to, you know, be fruitful in marriage, fruitful and multiply in the context of a marriage, and to not be divorced. The devil loves divorce because he splits up a whole family, and it's very powerful in a negative way. It has a great negative impact on the children for decades because the mother and father split apart. And of course, we have the abortion issue, which we talked about earlier. You know, that there have been, millions and millions of abortions since 1973 when abortion was legalized here in the United States. But you know what? Worldwide, there were over 50 million abortions every year throughout the world. And this is powerful. This is a tremendous, killing of the unborn baby worldwide. What can we do about it? Just think about that. I'm not asking you to answer the question. I want you to think about it. What can you and I do about just that? What can you and I do about divorce, about, you know, making our marriages better, strengthening our marriages, caring for our wives and husbands, caring for our children, putting the focus on the family once again, and not just solely on the career or on the activities, the sports, the hobbies, and other things. Getting that focus on the family once again. And the area of, once again, contraception, you know. And this is a very, you know, very controversial topic, but very important topic to talk about because, you know, there's really no condom out there that will guarantee 100% that you won't get someone pregnant. And that I know because as a speaker for Pennsylvanians for Human Life and also for other organizations years ago, you know, that's one of the things I learned in getting the messages out to our children to avoid, you know, STDs, sexually transmitted diseases, out of wedlock births, you know, and abortion. And back then, partial birth abortion. And to avoid, you know, these tough situations as a youth, you know, young people in their teens who get pregnant will live at the poverty level to almost 30 years old because they're kids having kids. And it's going to be very difficult, you know, to establish a residence, to get your education, to finish high school, to go to work, to provide for the baby because they're only in their teens. So this is a very, very important time to get the message of chastity and abstinence out there to our youth, to hold them, to help them to wait and to hold off on that sexual encounter. And you can see that the laws are, you know, very, very liberal, allowing, you know, kids to give consent at early ages. And it's incredible. And things are happening throughout America, not only, you know, in private homes, but on school buses, in schools, and in, you know, places that people are hanging out on the weekends and after school without question. But I want to just remind you, my friends, as we go through our program, I want to take a moment to remind you that we are here at Holy Spirit Radio. This is 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. And it is a blessing to be here on the air with you once again. And as we get into our program even further, we'll be covering the readings coming up this weekend, which is the fifth Sunday in Ordinary Time, and February 7th. And just a reminder again, Lent will begin on February 17th, and it's coming up. I want you to think about this. As we prepare for Lent, those 6 weeks coming up that take us into Easter, you know, I want you to think about, you know, what can you do instead of giving something up? What else can you do? You know, for me, it's always been taking on one or two more projects and giving up an hour or two of my time and giving an hour away in the area of some ministry. And so, and the Blessed Mother says, you know, as we fast, you know, if you like to give something up other than food, something you like more than food, you know, you can do that too. So it's not only the giving up of something as we go through Lent. It's something that we can do more of as well, to take on an extra ministry, to help others in a different way. What is it that you like to do or love to do for other people instead of giving up chocolate or something else? How about giving an hour of your time to the church, an hour of your time to a grandparent, an hour of your time once a week to our people in need, to the homeless or to residents in a nursing home? Or writing letters of thanks, letters of forgiveness. You know, this is a different way to look at it, my friends. But instead of giving up the traditional chocolate and other foods and things, How about taking on an extra ministry, just 1 hour, 1 to 2 hours a week, and making something great happen for people who really need the help, really need the assistance? Just take a look at it, consider it. And as we continue to go through our show today, we're about half past the hour. I want to get into our readings here coming up. And the fifth Sunday of Ordinary Time is special. We're talking about Job. And in the book of Job, here, Job 7, 1 through 4 and 6 to 7, Job spoke, saying, "Is not man's life on earth a drudgery? Are not his days those of hirelings? He is a slave who longs for the shade, a hireling who waits for his wages. So I have been assigned months of misery, and troubled nights have been allotted to me. If in bed I say, 'When shall I rise?' then the nights drag on. I am filled with restlessness until the dawn. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. They come to an end without hope. Remember that my life is like the wind. I shall not see happiness again." The word of the Lord. And from the book of Job, here we see that Job at this point had no peace, no contentment, no hope. He says, "I shall not see happiness again." My friends, if you're out there in that position, if you're out there without peace, you've got something else. Do you have peace today? If you don't have peace, if you don't have contentment, you might have fear, depression, anxiety. If you're out there with no hope, you might be in a hopelessness state. It's time to get some help and to reverse that trend. Are you happy in your life? I want you to think about it. In the Winx program, one of the things we do is to try to give people hope and great vision for the future by helping them to feed themselves in a positive way each and every day. And not even one day is missed in a 7-day week. It's imperative to begin new habit patterns that are conducive for giving you more peace in your life, more contentment, more hope, more vision into the future, to live a happier life. And God allowed Satan to test Job. And you and I, my friends, will be tested every day in our most vulnerable area. We will be tested as the Lord himself was tested. And Job persists in pursuing wisdom by fearing God and avoiding evil. And Satan tested him. He couldn't touch him, but he was allowed to test him. And we will be tested by Satan. Job attempts to understand the sufferings that he is going through. And again, imagine, he says, "I shall not see happiness again." He's without hope, without vision. If you're out there and you're in that position, give us a call, 215-345-1570. Again, 215-345-1570. And get in touch with Holy Spirit Radio, and they'll put you in touch with us here at the Wings program and Finding God in Prison, and try to give you some help and try to turn that life around for you. It's very, very important, my friends, because that's what we do. And God is a God of peace. He offers you an opportunity to live with peace. And if you're not living with peace, you've got something else. And there are people out there today who will steal your peace momentarily for a couple days, maybe a week. It's up to us to put that peace back into our lives by making great decisions that are aligned with the Word of God, by using our time in a positive way each and every day of the 7-day week, which is what we call the 168, 168 total hours in a week. No negative input, no negative thoughts, no negative people, all positive. No negative habit patterns, no drugs, no drug addiction, no alcohol addiction. Very important that we make great decisions for our body, minds, and souls. All three. So we have peace. When you have peace, we can put joy into our lives again. And we call that balance. When you have balance, you are very effective for God. You're very effective as a community servant because I'm at peace mentally, spiritually, and physically. And it's key. So we see in the book of Job that Job, he truly had no peace. And he says, when shall I arise? Whenever he says that, the nights drag on. He can't get a good night's sleep. He says, I am filled with restlessness until the dawn, until the morning comes. He says, and we can change that if you have that kind of situation going on in your life. I encourage you again to get in touch with us here at Holy Spirit Radio and turn your life around. Let's do something great this year. It's already February 5th. We're moving forward. We're through 5 weeks of the new year. Soon the spring will be coming. Lent will be here in just 10 days. And my friends, we have opportunity to turn our lives around with God's help. I want to go on to our second reading now, which is from the book of 1 Corinthians 9, verses 16 to 19 and 22 to 23. Here, St. Paul tells us this. My brothers and sisters, if I preach the gospel, there is no reason for me to boast, for an obligation has been imposed on me, and woe to me if I do not preach it. If I do so willingly, I have recompense, but if unwillingly, then I have been entrusted with a stewardship. What then is my recompense? That when I preach, I offer the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. Although I am free in regard to all, I have made myself a slave to all, so as to win over as many as possible. To the weak I became weak, to win over the weak. I have become all things to all, to save at least some. All this I do for the sake of the gospel, so that I too may have a share in it. The word of the Lord. And this is a great reading, my friends, here because, you know, we're talking about St. Paul, who wrote 13 books of the Bible. St. Paul, who had a great conversion experience. And the Lord, you know, took him from basically a general status, a persecutor of Christians, a great warrior in opposition to the Lord's message. And he knocked him off his horse. He made him blind for 3 days and then gave him his eyesight back. And with the loss of his eyesight and the regaining of his eyesight, the restoration of his eyesight, he saw the power of Jesus Christ. He saw the power of God and was given a whole new life. With that inspiration and education, the Lord basically assigned them through the Holy Spirit. He wrote 13 books of the Bible. And here St. Paul's telling you, he's telling me, if I preach the gospel, there's no reason for me to boast, for this is an obligation that's been imposed on me. He's been given the obligation. That's his assignment in his new life. And he says, and woe to me if I do not preach it. This is his calling. He must follow through with it. He must do it. What is your calling? Are you living up to your calling that God has given you? And some are called to the married life, some are called to the single life, and some are called to the religious life. Either way, are we living up to our calling? I want you to think about it. Like St. Paul says, and woe to me if I don't preach the gospel, which he is called to do. It's powerful. It's his assignment. God put him there. It's part of the blessings of obedience that God has given to St. Paul after his conversion. It's powerful that Moses tells us about in the book of Deuteronomy. And so what is our calling? Here at Holy Spirit Radio, it's similar to St. Paul to bring the message of the gospel and our Lord Jesus Christ to our listening audience, to bring the love of God with it and each and every program that is delivered. Our calling, my calling. This brings me back to a story, my friends, you know, about going fishermen, because St. Paul truly was a fisher of men. And the Lord says, come and follow me in the Gospel of Matthew. And he says, and I will make you a fisher of men. And so St. Paul, he says, you know, I have become all things to all to save at least some, to save some, to save my son, my daughter, your daughter, before things happen in life and it's too late. This is important. A fisher of men. And so many years ago, when I was a waiter in the Milleridge Inn up in Long Island, New York, after working 13-hour shift, as we did every Saturday and Sunday, four of us went fishing up in Buzzards Bay, Massachusetts. We drove all night. And about 6:30 in the morning, we got up there and we rented a 21-foot boat with a small horsepower motor on it. And we went fishing. And we were out there for about 2 hours and didn't have even a nibble. It was a beautiful day. The sun was rising. And we were out there in Buzzards Bay, Massachusetts. And so we were out there for flounder. We thought we would catch many flounder. So while we're in the boat, we were talking and enjoying the time together after a long night of driving. And at 9:15 on that morning, we hit a school of flounder. And we went from no fish to catching two and three at a time on each pole that the four of us had in the water. And we were bringing them in two and three at a time for quite a while. We caught 234 flounder on that day. And we were using bloodworms and some clam. And we had an incredible fishing experience. When we were done, we had two coolers filled with fish that we filleted. It took four guys 2 hours to fillet 234 flounder. And we went home with a lot of flounder. And I know the bait that we used was bloodworms and clam. The question, my friends, to you is, what is the bait that we must use as we are fishers of men to bring people into the fold, to bring them back to God? What is the bait that you recommend that we use? What is the bait that drew St. Paul into writing 13 books of the Bible? And I say the bait that we need to put out there is the love of God. The love of God is the most powerful gift that you can ever bring to another person or receive from another person. Love of God has changed my life. It is the bait that I have used for more than 25 years in prison ministry, in changing the hearts and minds of men who are inside for all kinds of crimes. Men who want to change, but they've never been exposed to the love of God, which is really a soft approach with with a great message rooted in the Word of God, and the men are starving for it. They're hungry for it. And people have told me this. Hence, thousands of people have come through our program. Just recently, we got a call from a gentleman who's serving a 10-year sentence. He was with me at the House of Corrections 7 years ago. Edward Addison was a graduate of the WINGS program. He spent 10 weeks, 50 hours, and 20 sessions with me and graduated from the WINGS program. He's age 30 now and already spent 7 years inside. He's got 3 years to go. And he called me, my friends, just to check in and let me know how he's doing. Well, he's a real gentleman and was that way 7 years ago as well. And we had a challenge on the outside with a young man who was 17. And Edward took it upon himself to write a letter, which he gave me in the program. And that letter was about attitude and opportunity. And he conveyed a great message to this young boy who was on the outside attending a high school here in Bucks County. And he touched that kid. And I want you to know that 7 years later, that young man, who's now 25 years old, is doing really well. He needed to learn some things about maturity as a young man. He needed to develop a work ethic, which he did not have. Although his parents were working hard and displayed a great role model for work ethic, he did not embrace it because of a bad attitude. And that, my friends, took time to change. And this young man actually, you know, is doing very well today. And he is on his way, both in his career and in his family life. And we owe it all to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But the time that Edward took to write that letter on his own, without being asked, and to deliver that letter, and to allow me to read it to that young man, was a privilege. But, you know, everything comes, my friends, in God's time and in His way. Nothing can be rushed. And in our program, sometimes we see young people pass away. Young people who have been lost from the drug fentanyl, from the drug heroin, from the drug cocaine, and opiates, and alcohol, and severe car accidents, young people. And recently I have a friend who told me about his 14-year-old who died of an overdose a couple years ago here in Bucks County because of the drug fentanyl, which is an elephant tranquilizer that has come into our country from Asia. And this is, you know, a very powerful drug, which, you know, anything that can tranquilize an elephant, can you imagine putting that into your bloodstream, what it's going to do to your body? Well, he lost his 14-year-old, and it just broke his heart. But my friends, we can't see what our children are doing all the time. We can teach them, we can love them, we can mentor them, inspire them, motivate them, discipline them. But when we're not with them, they have to make the right decisions, even at 13 and 14 years old. Because this man lost his 14-year-old son to fentanyl, which in this country is like an epidemic. And again, it's a very powerful drug. So I want you to, the message in this segment of the show is for you and I to look in and see what our kids are doing, to see what our grandkids are doing, not only when they go out of the house with their friends, but when they're in the house, on the computer, on the internet. What are they watching? What are they learning? Who is introducing them to things that they shouldn't be introduced to? We have to take ownership of our kids and I mean that sincerely, that we need to step it up. In the environment we're growing up in today, our children have access to everything in the schools and also through the internet, through YouTube. It is very, very imperative that we step it up as parents and we get to a higher level of supervision. Not with a hard touch, but with a soft touch, with a loving touch, to let our kids know that we are truly interested in what they're doing, what they're watching, who they're with. And there's no time like the present to get started, my friends, because, again, we can lose our children to bad friends. We can lose them to drugs, overdoses, to alcohol, overdoses, car accidents. We can lose our kids to other people who just kind of remove them from our homes as they begin to obtain driver's licenses and spending more time with their friends. I want you to think about what I'm saying. And if you're a parent or grandparent out there, if you're an aunt or uncle, I want you to look in and spend a little bit more time with our kids to make a greater impact on them this year, to start reducing things like the number of out-of-wedlock births, the number of abortions, the number of overdoses to drugs, the number of car accidents, and help them to secure, you know, family life as well as a great career. We owe it to ourselves, my friends, and the blessings of children we know are very great. But it is also a burden because it requires time. It requires, you know, very, very much quality time to look in and to not just be a friend to our kids, but to be a parent and to teach them the right way to go. So, again, getting back to Edward Addison, who wrote that letter to the 17-year-old, I just want to tell you that he's going to be a guest on our show, and he's up at SCI Forest, 6 hours away from Philadelphia, serving 10 years. He's got 3 years to go, but he's going to be invited into our next show. He's going to call in from inside, and we're going to have about a 15-minute segment to interview him. So I hope that you'll listen up to our program in the future. Again, our program is the first Friday of each month and from 1 to 2 in the afternoon. But the beautiful thing about Holy Spirit Radio is that you can go to www.holyspiritradio.org and go to local programming, and you can go to Finding God in Prison and click on the paragraph there and open up more than 50 programs that we have already completed and produced and are ready and available for self-help, for motivation, for education, for a medical factual data about the human life within a mother's womb, about recidivism, and many other things that we cover, including the Word of God, which is covered in each and every show. It's a powerful station we have here as a platform that God gave us on March 19th, 1999, when this whole project began as a blessing. And now here we are in the year 2021. Well, I was a guest on Bill Miller's show in 1999, that year, having a great conversion myself, or reversion, and leaving my career as a pilot. And you know, God is so good, he gave me that career back again, but he also gave me ministry as my first career. And I just tell you that it has been a privilege and a pleasure to work for the Lord Jesus Christ and his Father. No other person has ever treated me so beautifully, given me more peace, helped me to be more content, shown me tremendous grace enough to be a grandfather with my grandchildren, which today I have 4 grandchildren. And it is just a blessing to be out there and to spend time with those kids. either going up flying or maybe going on a sled during the snow, or taking them to a park and playing soccer or baseball as they're learning the actual craft of being a baseball player, soccer player, spending quality time. God has taught me that. That wasn't taught in school. We have to learn that by embracing our kids and grandkids and getting involved in positive activities with them. It's very powerful. One of the great blessings of life and family life is that we are fruitful and multiply, and we are there for our children when they need it most. So as we go through our show today, my friends, I want to remind you that this is Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. My name is Joe Montone, your host, and we are in the month of February, and Lent is coming up. So I want to just put in another word about that for us, that taking on 1 to 2 hours a week and doing something special for people you love, something that's very important, versus giving up chocolate or other things, which is okay, but taking it to another level and really treating other people who you love in a special way and giving them all you got, giving them all you have to make their life better, to make their lives easier, make them feel more special. And don't do it for you, do it for them. Do it for the Lord Jesus Christ, because we're coming up on the Lenten season. And the passion of Christ, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is such a powerful event that world time is based on that event. And that's why this is the year 2021. It's all about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. So do it for him. Don't give up. If you need help, give us a call here at Holy Spirit Radio and do it today. My friends, I wish you a great day, a wonderful week, and a beautiful month. May God bless you, and may God bless your children and your grandchildren and your homes with the love of God, the most powerful gift that you can give or receive to another person. May God bless you. Have a great day. We'll talk to you soon and see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio. My name is Joe Montone, your host. Have a great day, and God bless. Thank you very much.